Blog Talk Radio.
Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk about a lot of football because this is an NFL talk show. We talk a lot about NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL scores, NCAA men's and women's basketball scores, NCAA football scores, Canadian Football League, XFL, USFL. We also talk about the horse racing, dog racing, camel racing, pie eating contests, hot dog eating contests, badminton, water polo, whatever sport they cover on the monitor, we will cover. We'll talk about it. You can call into the show and talk about your favorite sport. If we don't know about it, you can teach us about it. You can come in and listen to us talk about our sport. If you don't know about it, we can teach you about it. All right. Stokers and Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. That's WBEST, Chula Vista, California. And again, I'm your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Time on deck is 8:04 a.m. It is 57 degrees, mostly sunny in San Diego, California. Today's topic is Chiefs cut off the boat's electricity on Sunday Night Football. Chiefs cut off the boat's electricity on Sunday Night Football. The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks in front of a live global listening audience. The topics covered will include but not limited to our National Football League Week 11 action, Canadian Football League 109th Grey Cup 2023 recap, and scores from the NBA, NHL, NCAA, men's and women's basketball and football, and Major League Baseball MVP results. Again, our topic for today is Chiefs cut off the boat's electricity on Sunday Night Football. Meaning last night, the Kansas City Chiefs came up with a big win in Los Angeles, California, at the SoFi Stadium against the Los Angeles Chargers last night. So, Yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs beat the L.A. Chargers. Excuse me if I make a mistake and say San Diego Chargers, because ever since I've been in San Diego since 1992, they have always been the San Diego Chargers, and kind of like still in my heart, they are still the San Diego Chargers because they still have a huge fan base in San Diego, because this is where they left a couple of years ago to move up to L.A. for a bigger revenue share in the NFL marketplace. But, however, forgive me, Chargers, if you're listening. If I say San Diego Chargers, I do mean L.A. Chargers. Yeah, last night it was a hard-fought battle amongst both teams. You know, I thought that the Chargers were going to pull it out, but it just seems like that Herbert just has not figured out how to manage the clock when you're playing against a guy so dangerous like Patrick Mahomes. I've said on multiple occasions that it's certain players in the National Football League, it's certain players that are, if they're breathing, they're dangerous. Meaning, you know, the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady's, those are the legends. Then you got the right now you got Patrick Mahomes. He's new school, I think. I was going to put Josh Allen in that mix, but here lately he's shown to be a turnover machine. So he's got to earn that spot back. But somebody like Patrick Mahomes, he's a dangerous man, and he can battle the Aaron Rodgers. He can battle the Tom Brady's because he's already won him a Super Bowl, and I think he's been to the Super Bowl twice, if I'm correct. He won one and lost one. So, correct if you want to call in and correct me if I'm wrong or debate me on this topic. Chiefs cut off the boat's electricity on Sunday Night Football. You can call in area code 515-602-9687. Again, 515-602-9687. But yes, Herbert, he's got to figure out a way to, number one, match a team like the Kansas City Chiefs with a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, score for score. You got to go score for score with them. I really don't think the defense last night, I mean, it's only so much you're going to be able to do against an Andy Reid coached offense, a Patrick Mahomes-led offense. It's only so much you can do with that team. Then plus at the same time, you know, the Chargers still got some key pieces hurt or some key pieces returned and probably got – and I believe got hurt again last night. So, but at the same time, I'm not going to make injuries the excuse at this point. We are week 11. It's 17 games, I believe, 17 or 18 games. I forgot where we're at now with this new collective bargaining agreement. But, you know, it's week 11. We're pretty much mid-season, or right at mid-season, however you look at it. And the way I look at it is like everybody's hurt. Everybody got injuries. So right now, everybody hurt going into the playoffs. Everybody gonna be hurt. You just got to get through the season. But Herbert, I mean, we left Patrick Mahomes. I think we just left him too much time on the clock to convert, and then when we got the ball back, I think we were down to like 30-something seconds, and then, you know, he turned the ball over. He threw a pick, and I think they ended the game the same way the last time, on a pick six the last time they played. Again, if I'm incorrect, call me on the show line and correct me or debate me on the topic. But if I'm remembering correct, Herbert threw a pick, you know, to end the last game. I think it was a pick six. I think I read that in the notes on the monitor. And last night he threw another interception to end the game. And what's happened, I have to go back to what Peyton Manning said a few weeks ago when I was listening to him talk about what a quarterback needs to do when he's under duress. Take the sack and play the next down. Because when you don't take the sack, you wind up throwing a ball, lobbing a ball up for grabs, and then it's a lot of times it can be an interception. When you can just take the sack and just manage the next down and try to get the yards back, even if you drop back for a Hail Mary pass, just drop in for the Hail Mary pass. I would rather have the opportunity to do that, and either my guy gets the ball or we lose the game. However, but I'm not going to try to avoid getting a sack. In my opinion, I don't think not what I would do, but in my opinion, I feel like what he should do is just basically he should have took the sack and then just live to play the next down, and it could have been a totally different outcome because he still had about 35 seconds left, if I'm correct, to try to come back. Even if it was fourth down, I think it was like third down and he threw that pick, but even on fourth down, live to play another down, you still got opportunity. You still got a 50-50 chance of making a first down. And if you lose the game that way, if you lose the game just because their defense stood up, okay, I'll take that. But just give them the ball because you're under duress. Just give them the ball, turn the ball over like that. I don't think that was a good move, you know. So again, you know, the Chargers, we fall. I think we're like 4-7, something like that. I think we're 4-7 now. So you know, we're in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of trouble. We're 4-7, but you know their record is a lot like a lot of other teams around the league record, about 4 wins. That's like when the struggling teams are about 3 or 4 wins. I think most people got 4 wins. A couple people got 2, but 4 wins kind of push you like middle of the row. Then you know everybody else is actually winning. Got about 6 to 8 wins, you know, six to eight wins. But of course, you know, you got the Eagles who standing up top of everybody with 9 wins. I think they went 9-1 yesterday, but heck, they almost lost. They almost lost their game yesterday. Speaking of the Eagles, I'm trying to figure out what's going on with that team, because I mean, they almost really lost a big game, you know, a winnable game yesterday, which they wind up winning, but they almost lost that winnable game, you know. They talk. Everybody's talking a lot about Jeff Saturday, and he was just sitting on set, you know, commenting about football. Then next thing you know, they thrust him into a head coach position. But heck, I feel like him leading that team, him orchestrating that team, getting everybody, you know, on the right page. They're looking better. They almost had a big win against the Eagles yesterday. The Indianapolis Colts almost had a big win. So I'm not opposed to Jeff Saturday getting that opportunity. I kind of questioned it if he would be able to do it, but then I thought about it. Say the man got pedigree. I believe he's a Hall of Famer or a future Hall of Famer. He was the center for Peyton Manning for a lot of years. One thing about offensive linemen, the center. He can read the defense because he's kind of like calling out stuff, pointing out stuff when he's looking around before he snaps the ball. He's pointing and he's looking, he's checking stuff and he's calling out stuff, you know. And then the quarterback kind of gets that information, if I'm correct, and he decides to stick with the play or kill the play. So the center and the quarterback kind of like working together. So when they put Jeff Saturday up in the mix of being a part of this thing as the head coach, I wasn't totally against it because he's an offensive lineman. And plus, that's probably what they needed, somebody to come in there and get on the offensive line, tighten up their technique, hold them accountable, and make the necessary adjustments, meaning cut some people and send them home and bring some more bodies in to work them out if that's what needs to be done. So, yeah, last night the Chiefs cut off the Bolts' electricity on Sunday Night Football. The time is 8:14 a.m. on deck. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer is the official platform of the professional armchair quarterback to call in and talk about the sport he or she loves the most. It is 59 degrees Fahrenheit, mostly sunny in San Diego, California, and we are broadcasting live, WBEST, Chula Vista, California, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. In other news, the Dallas Cowboys, they smoked the Vikings yesterday. That was another big game. I thought the Vikings actually had a chance of winning that game, but I guess some of this is coming down to some of this is coming down to what people were saying earlier, maybe that they just hadn't played nobody. They hadn't played, I guess Buffalo might have been the toughest team that you could probably say they had played up to this point. So if we look at strength of schedule, you know, they had won, you know, 8 games. You know, now I think they're 8-2 since the loss yesterday, but they came in 8-1. And I guess that what they were saying was that, well, the Vikings just hadn't played nobody. So when the Cowboys came in, I guess the Cowboys looked at it the same way. You know, they got a blowed up record, but they played a lot of weak teams, a lot of beatable teams. I mean, even in their division, the black and blue division, who is that? Green Bay not doing – who's that? Green Bay's not doing well. Because the Vikings, Green Bay, thing off the top of my head in the NFC North, who else is up in that in that division with the NFC North? Can't think of off the top of my head, but usually the Green Bay Packers is running that division. Then you got the Chicago Bears playing well. Justin Fields yesterday he tried to be Superman again yesterday, but it's working for a minute, but he's not able to pull out all the games. Detroit Lions, they're in that division, in the black and blue division, and they had a win yesterday. I'm happy for them, but they haven't been playing well all season. They're another one of those 4-win middle of the road teams, you know. So some of these teams are, you know, could be considered in that division terrible or middle of the road. But you know, I just think that the Vikings, I thought they should have played a better game yesterday. I thought Kirk Cousins could have been more effective. He got a weapon in Jefferson, and he got a running back, who's a Dalvin Cook. So I don't understand why they got beat, like, what was it, if I'm correct, 45-3. 45-3, that's kind of crazy. Luckily, I was kind of tired, and I had to take me a little cat nap it while that game was on, because every time I opened my eyes up to see the score, it was getting worse and worse. You know, all I kept hearing was Pollard, 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 Pollard. You know, I'm just like, wow. You know, they manhandled the Vikings. Cowboys manhandled the Vikings. So some of the experts and Hall of Famers on the monitor are saying that if they keep playing like that, along with Jerry Jones, they're saying if they keep playing like that, we're looking at a Super Bowl contender. If they keep playing the way they're playing, that's a Super Bowl run. So, well, we'll see. You know, I know they're going to the playoffs. I don't know how deep they're going into the playoffs, but if that keeps playing well and the running game holds up, then I think they can definitely get out of the first round. They can get out of the wild card round, and then. Then, you know, they get off into the conference, well, the wild card round, then they get off into whatever they call it, you know, the divisional round or whatever the heck it is. But however it go, I think they got enough tools to at least get out of the first 2 weeks of the playoffs. I think they can get 2 wins in the playoffs. Scores across the modern NFL, Lions 31, Giants 18. Lions 31, Giants 18. Just going to rattle off some scores as they come across the monitor for you. I want to make sure I'm covering everybody's sport, including World Cup. I apologize to all the world football fans, not American football, but for the world football fans. In America, we call it soccer. I want to apologize for not putting the World Cup in the details. Good luck to our men's team today. I forgot who we have in our, I think we're in group play or something like that. I'm still learning all my soccer terminology, but I'll get better. Phil News, Raiders 22, Broncos 16. Raiders 22, Broncos 16, final in overtime. Looks like Derek Carr is still trying to right the ship. He's still trying to right that ship, I believe. I think in overtime, Davante Adams had a big reception to seal the deal in overtime. So Raiders 22, Broncos 16, I guess Russell Wilson still hadn't righted his ship yet. I don't know what's going on with Russell Wilson. I think me myself that he's trying to play the game the way they want him to play it, by using his arm rather than his arm and his legs. Cowboys 40, Vikings 3. Cowboys 40, Vikings 3. We just talked about that fiasco on the part of the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, they got spanked 40-3. That's terrible. that is terrible. I'm just taking a minute to just try to rattle off some scores just to keep everybody updated. But while I'm doing that, if you'd like to call in and raise your hand and put yourself in queue, feel free to do so. The call-in line again is area code 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687, to call in and debate the host or boast about the sport you love. In NBA news, we got, let's see here, just looking across the monitor. Well, let me get all my notes down before I give you this information. We got a lot of stuff going on. What should Simmons expect in return to Philly? What should Simmons expect in his return to Philadelphia? Ben Simmons is playing in his first game against the 76ers since the trade in February. So Ben Simmons playing in his first game against the Philadelphia 76ers since his trade in February. They're trying to figure out, since he's been traded from the Sixers to the Knicks on February 10th, what should he expect when he goes back to Philadelphia to be booed? The NFL scores, Bengals 37, Steelers 30. Bengals 37, Steelers 30. But back to, I'm going to just be talking a little bit about this NBA topic here, Ben Simmons going back to Philly. He should expect to be booed. That's what happens every time, you know, somebody leaves a city and goes to another one, especially in basketball, because the fans are so close, you know, so close to the court. You know, it's not like a big football stadium, but anytime you know these basketball players, when they get traded and they go back to the state that expected a lot from them, when they go back to that city that expected a lot from them, and they don't produce well, you're going to get booed. If the players that do produce well get booed, you're going to get booed. Like when KC went back to Oklahoma City, he heard the boos, but he also heard some cheers, because they had to also cheer him because they know that he produced for them for multiple years. In NFL scores, Chiefs 30, Chargers 27. NFL score, Chiefs 30, Chargers 27. But back to NBA. Anytime these guys, you know, get a trade in the National Basketball Association and they go back to the city they came from and it was a mega star, and Ben Simmons, even though he didn't produce, he's still a mega star because his first couple of years he did well. He did do well. That's why teams want him, because he can play defense, he can rebound. You know, he just has an issue with his jump shot and hitting free throws. But all the other stuff, he can pass, he can move the ball, he can rebound, he can defend, he can do all this stuff well. But you know, I mean, yeah, he's going to get booed tonight. Then they're saying Kyrie Irving is expecting his first game back since his suspension. Let's hope we keep this whole thing with Kyrie Irving about basketball versus this movie that he commented on. The movie was titled, if anybody wants to know, was titled From Hebrews to Negroes, and that set off this big deal about Kyrie Irving being anti-Semitic, which on the monitor, I've seen on my social media posts, I've seen a lot of people say they saw the movie and the movie has nothing to do with anti-Semitism, but I have never seen it, and I'm going to just stay away from that because I'd like to stay away from religion and politics on the show. In NBA news, Hornets lose to the Wizards 106-102. Hornets lose to the Wizards 106-102. Wizards 106, Hornets 102. Popping off some more scores as we go. Kings 137, Pistons 129. Kings 137, Pistons 129. I'm going to have to get my man JB back on the show so I can talk about what's going on in basketball. Detroit, they did have a first-round draft pick. I think about 2 years ago they got the young man from Oklahoma State as the first-round draft pick. I'm trying to figure out what it is out there that they need to do from JB's standpoint. So, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see. A lot of stuff going on over the weekend. They're trying to see, figure out, will Kyrie be a distraction? NBA scores, Nets 127 over the Grizzlies. Cavaliers 113-87. Cavaliers 113, Heat 87. Cavaliers 113, Heat 87. So Cavaliers defeat the Heat. The Cavaliers got a great basketball team, but they pulled out 113-87 over the Heat. And the Heat, of course, you know, with Jimmy Butler, of course, they're a powerful team, definitely still a playoff team. Warriors 127, Rockets 120. Warriors 127, Rockets 120. They pulled one off over the Rockets. So Golden State Warriors 127 over the Rockets 120. Again, they're on the monitor. They're trying to figure out if Kyrie won't be a distraction for the team tonight. You know, well, yeah, he's going to be a distraction because the media is going to make sure he's a distraction. In my opinion, the media, it ain't really about Kyrie. It ain't even about his teammates. It's about the media. The media is so powerful, they determine what's going to be a distraction and what's not. Because when they made these players sign that NBA press conference contract, you know, they have to deal with the press. Nuggets win tonight over the Mavericks. Nuggets won 98-97 over the Mavericks. Nuggets 98, Mavericks 97. So the Nuggets defeat the Mavericks. Lakers 123, Spurs 92. Lakers pull one off 123 over the Spurs 92. Got to figure out they got some news about the Lakers. I guess winning another one. I think they said Russell Westbrook was 10-10 coming off the bench, something like that. Yeah, 10 points, 10 assists coming off the bench. So Lakers 123, Spurs 92. So I guess the biggest news today in basketball is Kyrie Irving coming back off his suspension and everything. So would that be a distraction? We'll see. You know, Kyrie Irving said he just missed his teammates and missed the coaching staff. He's returning from an 8-game suspension. Again, Kyrie Irving states, just missed my teammates, missed the coaching staff. And they're wondering if we're confident that Kyrie won't be a distraction. We'll see. In NHL news, Penguins 5, Blackhawks 3. NHL, Penguins 5, Blackhawks 3. So the Penguins defeat the Blackhawks 5-3. I'm just going to keep on rattling off some scores to you. NCAA women's basketball, number one, South Carolina, 76. Number two, Stanford, 71. That was a good game. I see on the monitor, it was an overtime game, if I'm correct. Number one, South Carolina, women's basketball, 76. Stanford, ranked number two, 71. So South Carolina wins 76-71 over Stanford in a final overtime thriller. Got some more women's basketball scores coming up here in a second here. Number six, Louisville, 71. Number three, Texas, 63. Number six, Louisville, 71. Number three, Texas, 63. You know, trying to get better at making sure that everybody get their scores in case they miss something. Trying to just, you know, do better on my show and making sure everybody get their scores. That's really why I'm trying to get a news desk person to rattle off the scores every 30 minutes to break all the scores down for the top teams. But right now I'm doing my best. Iowa, 73, Belmont, 62, women's basketball, NCAA basketball for the women's. And number five, UConn, 91, North Carolina State, 69. UConn, 91, North Carolina State, 69. UConn's ranked number five currently. So, you know, they're still in the top five. They're not number one like it used to be, but they're still a top five team in NCAA women's basketball. They win 91-69 over North Carolina State. UConn wins big. We got Iowa State 99, Columbia 76. Iowa State 99, Columbia 76. Iowa is currently ranked number seven. We got number eight, Ohio State 99 over McNeese 43. Ohio State 99 over McNeese 43. Notre Dame, 95, Ball State, 60. Notre Dame, 95, Ball State, 60. UCLA, 80 over number 11, Tennessee, 63. That was an upset. UCLA, 80, knocks down number 11, Tennessee, 63. UCLA over Tennessee, 80-63. UCLA is a winner over Tennessee, 80-63. Number 12, Indiana, 92, Quinnipiac, 55. Number 12, Indiana, 92. Quinnipiac, 55. North Carolina, 76. James Madison, 65. Number 13, North Carolina, 76 over James Madison. Number 15, LSU, 100 over Northwestern State, 45. LSU, a winner over Northwestern State. They win big. All right. So that's all the scores I have right now. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stogies and Beer Radio. So I am your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Our topic for today is Chiefs cut off the Bolts' electricity on Sunday Night Football. Chiefs cut off the Bolts' electricity on Sunday Night Football. The host would debate professional armchair quarterbacks in front of a live global listening audience. The topics covered will include, but not limited to, National Football League Week 11 action, Canadian Football League 109th Grey Cup 2023 recap, and scores from NBA, NHL, NCAA, men's and women's basketball and football, and Major League Baseball MVP results. I believe Aaron Judge won the American League MVP, and I'm just got to do some more research on who won the National League MVP. I can't think of it right off the top of my head, but I think it might have been somebody from the St. Louis Cardinals. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't want to say the wrong thing, but if you are Major League Baseball fan, call in to 515-602-9687 so we can discuss the results of the MVP results in Major League Baseball. But I do, off the top of my head, do remember them saying that Aaron Judge did win the American League MVP. And I apologize to the gentleman that won the MVP for the National League, but I do think it was somebody from the St. Louis Cardinals, I think. But I don't want to quote something wrong. This is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. That's W Best, Chula Vista, California. Time is 8:32 a.m., and it is mostly sunny in San Diego, California, 59 degrees Fahrenheit. Last night, in some football action across the border up north, we had the Canadian Football League 109th Grey Cup 2023 recap. And so last night, you know, there was a good game between the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and Toronto Argonauts. I mean, it was back and forth action all the way to the end. And I seen a resurgence out there of what's the young man's name? I forgot his first name, but he's Jim Kelly's nephew, Chad Kelly. Chad Kelly, I believe he played at Ole Miss. That's Jim Kelly's nephew. And I seen him out there. He was in a relief role. He had to come in and finish off the game for the Toronto Argonauts. So that's big for him. I mean, you know, he just like his uncle, he has a championship ring to his name. So it ain't the Super Bowl, but it is the 109th Grey Cup. And big shout outs to the to their MVP for the Toronto Argonauts. They call it their best, the most important player. And then they also give him he won the award for not Chip Kelly, but I'm gonna say the guy's name in a minute. Actually, his name is Enoch Mwamba. Enoch Mwamba, I believe he's a linebacker, been there for 11 years with the Toronto Argonauts. You know, I believe he did all the time with the Toronto Argonauts. If not, I know he's an 11-year vet in the Canadian Football League in the CFL up north. But he won the most important player last night, and he also won the best Canadian award. I guess it's something like maybe like a NFL Man of the Year, but maybe they give it all out to participants in the Grey Cup. I'm not sure about that, but if you're a Canadian football fan and you know a little bit more about that type of stuff than I do, please call in and correct me or update me. You already got the show line already repeated out. But when anybody that's in queue, I'll just shout it out again so I can get some people in queue. The call in to the show is 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687. And again, we're talking about a little bit of when it all comes down to it. You know, it's a very emotional moment, but I take a couple things that he said in his interview. He said that it's just all about being persistent and consistent. It's all about, when you're trying to strive for greatness, it's all about being persistent and consistent. And if you're persistent and consistent, it'll come back. It's going to come back to you the way you put it out. If you're consistent and persistent, it's going to come back to you the way you put it out there. So that was a good moment. But anyway, you know, in CFL Grey Cup result, the Toronto Argonauts did defeat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers to win the 109th Grey Cup 2023. Yeah, so, you know, just a lot of stuff going on in the news today. And I just want to make sure I covered pretty much have covered a little bit of everything. We went over our NBA scores, NHL scores, NCAA women's basketball scores. I'll shout out some of the men's basketball scores as it comes across the monitor. In football, in NCAA football news, we had at the University of Tennessee, they suffered the loss of their quarterback, Hendon Hooker. I mean, that kid can play. That's a good that young man can play. That young man can play, and he wound up tearing his ACL and non-contact injury, wound up tearing his ACL, and so he's going to be out. I believe he tore something in his knee, ACL, MCL in his knee, so he's going to be out for a good amount of time. But hopefully, he's done enough to win the Heisman. To me, he was the best quarterback this season, Hendon Hooker. I know he'll get some votes for the Heisman, but I think he should win it. I really think he should win it. You know, you can call in and debate me if you like on that topic, but I really think that Hendon Hooker for the Tennessee Volunteers should definitely get the Heisman Trophy nod this year. But hopefully that if he's planning on going to the NFL, hopefully he'll still get signed. They may have to sit him out for half a season or sign him and let him sit out for a season, but just go ahead and get him on contract and go ahead and let him heal up. But I think that young man has a bright future in football if he chooses to continue. And my LSU Tigers, they had a good win against a tough team. The University of Alabama, Birmingham, UAB. My LSU Tigers, they beat the UAB Dragons. So that was a good win for us. For a minute, I thought UAB might have came to beat us, you know, because it looked like they came to play. I think they had went up on us. I think they scored first. Or if they didn't score first, they came right back and scored. But it was the first quarter. The first quarter or most of the first half was kind of like a little bit of back and forth action. I think they came to kind of challenge LSU. But as time went on, you know, starting getting deep in the third, in the fourth quarter, LSU just turned it on and did what they needed to do. They showed up. They woke up, remembered who they were, and took care of business. So that was good. So we're ranked number 6 currently, hopefully. That we can, you know, maybe after we play the last game, we can get ranked, you know, in the playoff picture. But we'll see. Today, I think they're going to be doing a whole nother shakeup of this playoff picture, because if we mess around and win the SEC championship, if we win the SEC championship game, I feel like us winning the SEC. That's a playoff spot. Whoever wins the SEC is supposed to be in the playoffs. And I think we're going to have to face Georgia. That's the only unfortunate part. It's going to be LSU trying to face Georgia. And Georgia hadn't shown too many weaknesses this year. So I don't know what's going to happen in that game. But we need to go in there and try to win, beat Georgia. And if we beat Georgia in the SEC championship, I really feel like we're going to be in the playoff picture. So it's going to be up to Brian Kelly to get us ready. It's going to be up to Brian Kelly to get that quarterback right I know he's a quarterback coach, so we need Brian Kelly to get our quarterback right at LSU to make sure he's ready for this challenge against Georgia. We need that offensive line blocking, and we need that defense nasty. We got a great freshman linebacker who is at Perkins Jr. His name is Harold Perkins Jr., but Perkins Jr. can play. That kid got about one more year left at LSU, and he's going to the NFL. I hope our Saints pick him up. I hope our Saints can get him, because I tell you, he's just a freshman, and they're saying that he don't even really know how to play the position at that level yet. But for a guy that doesn't know how to totally play that position at that level yet, man, when he learns how to play it the right way, that young man is going to be a beast. I like that kid, Perkins Jr. That kid is playing ball. I'm glad we got him for LSU. So hopefully he'll have a big game in the SEC championship against Georgia. But I think this is the last game for all FBS and FCS colleges. I think this is the last game. I think, if I'm correct, the playoffs have already started. For the FCS playoffs, they should start next week, because I think it has to start next week, because they was complaining about Florida A&M University not getting a playoff nod after a 9-2 season, and I think the two teams they lost to were high level Power Five schools. So, you know, maybe they lost to like a North Carolina or something like that, a couple ACC teams or whatever, you know, Power Five conference teams. But, you know, they won 9 games against everybody else on the field at their level. So they should have got a playoff nod. Jackson State, I think they're not going to go to the playoffs. They're going to forego the playoffs and play for the Celebration Bowl in Atlanta, Georgia National Championship, Black College National Championship. So that actually makes sense. That actually makes sense. If they're going to pass up going to the playoffs, you know, they already beat another pretty good FCS team this year. Speaking of Jackson State, I think they beat Campbell. I think they beat Campbell, and I don't know if there was a homecoming or not, but they did beat Campbell, and that's a notable FCS football team. You know, I think they're in the Big South Conference. You know, so Big South Conference versus SWAC, so I think that's that was a decent win. And I believe Hampton is in the Big South Conference. They left the MEAC and went to the Big South. I got to check and see how Hampton is doing in that conference. I hadn't heard too much noise about them. But, FCS playoffs should start next week. And big uproar is the Historical Black College University, Florida A&M Rattlers. They after a 9-2 season, they didn't get invited to play in the playoffs. And I think that's unfortunate. That's the only thing I hate about the playoff picture. It's all about bids. It's just like the basketball tournament. You got to get a bid. And I'm just like, okay. I mean, you got to make this stuff even across the board. For a lot of the black colleges in the NCAA basketball tournament, they wind up at least in the play-in game. They could at least put Florida A&M in some type of a play-in game. And I would have done that this year. It shouldn't be that hard to add two more games on the schedule. Just say, hey, look, we're gonna do a play-in game. You know, team with the best record, you know, goes down. And I'm talking about for those bubble teams. And then, you know, maybe the top seed set them out. Then the bottom seeds do a play-in tournament like they're doing basketball. But of course, that's easier said than done. We're talking about revenue. We're talking about, it's always going to come down to the dollar. So it's probably going to be something about revenue, why it can't happen, scheduling, why it can't happen. When you're talking about TV schedule, they probably already had all this stuff in stone. And unfortunately, that Florida A&M just didn't get a bid to be in the FCS playoffs to play for a national championship. So, you know, things happen. That such is life. Such is life. Is always something. You know, it's always going to be something. But anyway, I'm going to go off into some music mix and take a station break real quick. So stand by. This has been the Stokers and Mirror Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Foran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Time on deck is 8:46 a.m., and it is 61 degrees Fahrenheit, mostly sunny in San Diego, California. Stand by. We're going to take a quick station break and go off into some music mix, and we'll be back. Hello and welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. For some reason, I'm having some technical difficulties with my music, so I'm hoping that I'm coming across the airwaves clear and correct. So hopefully I'm not sitting here talking to myself on my show the whole time and nobody can hear me. But I'm trying to figure out why I can't get my music to play. It's not making any sense to me. So I'm going to just go ahead on and continue broadcasting myself, but I was trying to do a station break and for some reason silence. I'm just trying to figure out why my music isn't playing. That doesn't make any sense. So hopefully everything else is, my voice is at least coming across the waves okay, because I'm not getting any I'm not getting any radio tracks, which is kind of upsetting me. I'm checking my levels. That's working. But anyway, the show must go on. Hopefully everything is picking up. My mic is in queue. I'm in queue. So I'm just trying to figure out why my audio is not coming through my soundboard. That's kind of weird to me. It's very weird to me. So we're going to take a quick station break again to try to get this audio fixed. Stand by, please.
I'm not afraid to die.
Hello and welcome back to the Stokely Bear Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran. The late night talk with you live in the early morning on the Stokely Bear Radio Show. Sorry about any technical difficulties that we may have had. We had I don't know what happened. I had to call in to my cell phone line to kind of like see if I could hear my music playing. For whatever reason, when I went off into a station break, I couldn't hear the music playing through my monitor, so I had to offline, come back online through my console, and then call back in through my telephone as a guest to see if I could hear the audio playing on the system. Just, you know, and I apologize about you know, technical difficulties happen when you're dealing with these online radio stations and when you're dealing with regular brick and mortar stations. Technical difficulties happen. You know, a lot of people don't understand that when you're watching TV and the show goes into black, that means a mistake has been made. I know that because I'm a radio, television, film major. So anytime you see the TV go black in the middle of a program, that means the regular technical switcher is off that weekend. They got a fill-in technical director or technical switcher. And when they make a mistake like that, that means that somebody's new working the switcherboard. When they go black or you start seeing all kind of issues on in the audio and in audio quality, video quality, you got people that normally don't do those positions probably filling in for somebody. So you know, that's what happens there. In World Cup action, I'm trying to get some news on World Cup on the monitor, trying to see when the United States play and everything like that. Just trying to get some World Cup information. I haven't been able to get much yet. I do know that they're playing. Oh, we got 1 p.m. Eastern, Wales and in USA. USA versus Wales at 1 p.m. Eastern. That's coming. That's what we got today, Wales. So I guess we got Cardiff, Wales today, 1 p.m. Eastern in World Cup men's action. World Cup's women's action, I have to see what's going on. I don't think we got Women's World Cup yet. I think they're doing, FIBA championships or something like that. I have to double check on that. But I did notice that the women were playing soccer, as we call it, soccer in the United States, but it's football worldwide. So the women were playing global football last week, if I'm correct. So I'm just trying to see if the men and women are all playing, men and women action is all going on the same week, or is it going to be are the women's done and the men's are starting? I don't follow soccer every day. I do follow the headlines and the scores, but I don't follow it every day. But I try to make this broadcast universal for everybody, men and women, and whatever sport you love. You know, try to make this show universal. You know, men, women, or whatever you consider yourself, and whatever sport you love, I try to be fair and equal to all that tune in. So I try to cover all the sports equally. So yeah, when it's all said and done, you know, we do have World Cup men's action at 1 Eastern, the U.S. men's team against Wales. So good luck, USA soccer, U.S. men's team. Hopefully we can get a win, and I believe we're going to be participating in group play today. But we'll see what happens. Hopefully we can get a couple wins and get deep off into the tournament. So good luck to U.S. men's soccer, or U.S. men's global football, as they like to say, football worldwide. But for those who just tuned into the show, again, sorry for my technical difficulties. It is 9:03 a.m. You're listening to the Stokely and Bear Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBST, Chula Vista, California. And I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Today's topic is the Chiefs cut off the Bosa electricity on Sunday Night Football.
The host will debate professional armchair quarterbacks in front of a global listening audience. The topics covered will include but not limited to the National Football League Week 11 action, Canadian Football League 109 Grey Cup 2023 recap, and scores from the NBA, NHL, NCAA, men's and women's basketball and football, and Major League Baseball MVP results. So we pretty much covered the topic, which is Chiefs cut off the Bolts electricity on Sunday Night Football. So the Chiefs won against the Chargers last night, 3-27. Mahomes was 20 for 34, 352 total yards, 3 touchdowns in the Chiefs' comeback win against the Chargers. Is it clear Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are the toughest team to beat in the NFL? Is that clear? I'm sure they're not undefeated, so I can't say they're the toughest team to beat. Bottom line is the Los Angeles Chargers, formerly the San Diego Chargers, they need to learn how to control clock. They scored too early. When they scored the last time, I looked and I said they scored too early. They should have ran the ball a couple more times, 8 o'clock, and never gave the ball back. But I think because the Kansas City defense were making plays, they just like, let's just go ahead and score. And then our defense is going to have to win. But I felt like our offense in the red zone, controlling the last, minute or so, I just feel like we should have been able to pull that win out. But we scored too soon, gave the ball back to Patrick Mahomes with too much time left on the clock, way too much time left on the clock. And they were able to convert. And when we did get the ball back with about 35 seconds, their defense stood up. And Herbert panicking, he threw a pick, which we ended the game the last time we played them with a pick. So my thing is, like Peyton Manning said a couple weeks ago on TV when he was talking about that the rookie quarterback in Tennessee, I forgot his name, Malik something, he came out of Liberty. He was making a statement. He said that, I believe he said Malik can play. He got a big arm, has talent. But when you panic and start just throwing the ball up to avoid a sack and you throw a pick, that's not hard. Always live. Take the sack and live to play the next down. Take the sack and live to play the next down, especially because if it's third down, you still got fourth down. So if you get sacked on second down, get sacked on third down, don't just wildly try to get rid of the ball so you can avoid the sack. Just take the sack and live to play the next down, because on the next down, you get all that back with what you lost. You have the option. It's a 50-50 chance you can still get a first down. So I think that that's what Justin Herbert should have did last night, because when he got sacked, I believe it was on third down. It wasn't the last play of the game, if I'm remembering right. If you'd like to call in and correct me or debate me, call in to 515-602-9687. Again, call in area code 515-602-9687 if you'd like to call into the show and debate me on that particular topic. Hopefully, again, my audio comes out okay for the remainder of the show. I'm going to have to be in a stationary position and complete the rest of the show, and hopefully my audio through my monitor is going to come out okay for you that are going to listen to the show at a later time. So, we're just trying to fix some audio issues, but I think we'll be all right because I'm listening through my phone on the other side, and I'm hearing me come through clear, and we'll do another audio test with the music track shortly. I don't know what was going on earlier, but, things happen. Things happen with these online devices and stations and, stuff like that. So, again, I apologize for about a brief 3 or 4 minutes. It might have been some silence. It might have been some music mix-up. But, we're back on air. We're back up. And I thank everybody that's tuning in out there and the world listening globally to the show. Thanks for all my supporters. We currently have 466 streams worldwide. So that's good. I just started this show in July. So to have 466 streams of the show worldwide, I'm so thankful that somebody's listening to the show. I don't care if it's the same two or three people at 466 streams worldwide. So I'm thankful for that. So when we hit 500, when we hit 500 streams, you know, I'm gonna have a special show for that. Do a little bit of celebrating on the show. Do a little bit of celebrating off air as well. So, you know, in other news, the Cowboys defeated the Vikings 40-3. Cowboys defeated the Vikings 40-3. Dak Prescott went 22 for 25, 292 total yards, two touchdowns. Are the Cowboys the team to beat in the NFC? Right now, I think they might be the team to beat in the NFC. I mean, I'm looking at it. Well, they got to beat the Philadelphia Eagles first. But the way the Philadelphia Eagles been looking the last two games, and of course Washington Commanders, they're on a bit of a run. I think they're on a 5-game win streak, if I'm remembering right, because the week they beat the Philadelphia Eagles, they were already on a 3-game win streak, if I'm correct. And then they just won their last two. They beat the Eagles last week, and they beat somebody yesterday. So they're on a 5-game winning streak. So when I look at it like this, you know, the NFC East, that used to be the NFC Least, is really an exciting division right now, because the Giants, they got 6 wins. Cowboys got 6 wins. The Washington Commanders, they got five wins. And then the Philadelphia Eagles, of course, got 9 wins at 9-1. So the NFC East is really where it's going on at right now, if you really want to look at it. Jerry Jones is saying he feels like the Cowboys are ready to go contend for the playoffs. I agree with that. I don't think that – I don't know if they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I do think that they're ready for a playoff run. I think they'll get out the first 2 weeks. They'll get out of the wild card round to win the first round of the divisional round. They'll win that, and then – you know, we'll see what happens. You know, I'll give them 2 wins with the way that defense is playing. Then I think Dak is playing well enough to secure 2 playoff wins. It's just a matter about who they're going to be seeded against. Just a matter about who they're going to be seeded against. Like if they run into Tampa Bay, you know, in the wild card, then they might have an early exit, because Tom Brady, he's just like Patrick Mahomes, he's dangerous if he's breathing. If he's breathing, he's dangerous. So that's the thing that we have to take account of. But with that being said, you know, it's an interesting time. It's an interesting time on during this midway point of the football season. We also talked a little bit about earlier about Canadian Football League's 109th Grey Cup 2023 victory by the Toronto Argonauts, defeating the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I don't have the scores in front of me right now, but once they come up on the monitor, I'll announce the actual scores. But it was a tight game. I was watching it, that took me a little cat nap, and I didn't notice that the Grey Cup had started or was even playing today. I had seen some stuff about Grey Cup, but I didn't know when it was actually going to be played, whether it was today or next week. But I finally found it on the monitor, and after I got done, you know, watching, you know, listening as I was snoozing, listening to the Dallas Cowboys beat the heck out the Vikings, I finally turned it on to the Grey Cup, and I caught the halftime show, and I was thinking that it was the start of the show, but then didn't dawn on me that there was a halftime show, and I finally saw the score 10-7 or something like that when I started watching it. I think Toronto may have been up 10-7 when the third quarter started, but it was just a back-and-forth game. But I really thought that Winnipeg, they had kind of like sealed it at the end. But Toronto kept fighting and pretty much won. They had 2 block kicks, had 2 block field goals. I believe they had 2 block field goals, and they was able to, you know, come back and seal the deal. Chad Kelly, which is Jim Kelly's Buffalo Bills Hall of Famer. Chad Kelly is his nephew. Chad Kelly came in a relief role wearing that number 12, just like his uncle, Jim Kelly. He came in relief role and was able to seal the deal for the Grey Cup. So we talked about that, and the most important player Enoch Muamba. He had an emotional moment up on stage with his daughter and everything, beautiful moment. And his words were to encourage everybody, and I'll share them. It was to, you know, if you're trying to do something, you got to be persistent and consistent. In so many words, not quoting him verbatim, but his words were persistence and consistency. Persistence and consistency. Persistent, consistent when you're trying to reach your goals. And if you keep on being persistent and you keep on being consistent, you know, your dreams can come true. So that ain't his words verbatim, but I'm just, you know, ad-libbing, as they say, on my understanding of what he was saying. Be persistent and be consistent when you're trying to achieve your goals. And so we also talked about a lot of NBA action. I believe the Lakers got a win over the Spurs. Russell Westbrook came off the bench again for, I believe, his fourth or fifth straight game. And he had 10 points, 10 assists in the Lakers' victory. Klay Thompson, Golden State, they won. Klay Thompson had, what did they have? What did Klay Thompson have? He had 40 points. And I think he hit 10 three-pointers. He had like 41 points. He had 10 three-pointers, I believe, if I'm saying that correct. But he had 41 points. So that was I guess Klay Thompson is trying to silence the critics, which I don't blame him. You know, they've been kind of hard on Klay, but he's been trying to silence the critics. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokes and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBESD. Time on deck, 9:15 a.m. It is 61 degrees Fahrenheit, mostly sunny in San Diego. And our topic again is the Chiefs cut off the Bolts' electricity on Sunday Night Football. Chiefs did cut off the Bolts' electricity on Sunday Night Football. We'll get back to that in a minute. And keep on talking about that as things come up on the monitor. We did go over some NHL scores. I'll repeat out some more shortly. NHL scores, we did go over that. Like, again, I'll repeat out some shortly and go over some topics as they come up on the monitor. NCAA men's and women's basketball was covered, mainly the women's scores, but I'm still waiting on some men's scores. The women's basketball's big news was number one, South Carolina defeated number two, the South Carolina and Stanford. That's correct. You got Dawn Staley and Tyra Vanderbilt went at it yesterday in women's basketball action with South Carolina, led by Dawn Staley, defeated Stanford women's basketball. So South Carolina number one defeated number two Stanford in women's basketball. That was the biggest action yesterday. Last night was a good football game. Again, like I said, the Chiefs cut off the Bolts' electricity on Sunday Night Football. I tell people all the time that Patrick Mahomes is one of the most dangerous football players out there. He's dangerous if he's breathing. You can never give him the amount of time that the Chargers gave him last night. I'm back. The Chargers scored, but they scored too quickly. I was wondering why did they score instead of just falling down and just letting the time keep running on the clock. That way, it would have put more pressure on Mahomes than on the score. But then they could have been looking at it like if Patrick Mahomes comes in and scores, then we want to have a little at least 30 or 40 seconds to make a drive down the field ourselves. So Herbert, he wound up, you know, trying to avoid a sack and throwing another interception, which we ended game on another pick six. So that a lot of that is across the monitor about is Kansas City the team to beat right now. Patriots defeat the Jets 10-3. Patriots defeat the Jets 10-3. Zach Wilson 9 for 22, 103 total yards in the Jets 10-3 loss to the Patriots. Do the Jets need to move off Zach Wilson during the offseason? I don't think they need to move off him during offseason. I think they need to move off of him right now. Zach Wilson needs to be sitting on the bench watching Joe Flacco navigate them through the rest of the season, because the Jets have five or six wins. And so it's like, if you got five or six wins, you need to go ahead on and put Joe Flacco in, and let who is a Super Bowl winner, let him go ahead on and right the ship into the playoffs. You know, and just leave Zach Wilson in a reserve role. He's not ready for this pressure of having a winning season in New York. He's not ready. I mean, they're right there, ready to say they can be they're a good team. They're right there to where people can say, hey, the Jets are a good team. But the problem is Zach Wilson is a weak link, and then they're trying to say the guy that was one of the players that was in the locker room getting interviewed, he kind of like said the passing game needs to get better. So it's like they're looking at it like, well, he called out the quarterback. Well, truth is the truth. The passing game does need to get better. If the defense is coming out there holding the Jets, it was 3-3 in the fourth quarter, 3-3, with like two or three. So all the experts on the monitor this morning are saying he didn't take responsibility for his performance. The experts out there in the media, they're going crazy about this. They're saying he didn't take enough responsibility for his performance in that game. I mean, they were playing the Patriots down to the wire. It was 3-3, like with a little bit of time left, like about 2 minutes left in the game, and then they wind up not being able to convert, wind up having to punt the ball. When they punted the ball, the guy ran it back for a pick six. Not a pick six, but ran it back for a TD. You know, they punted the ball, guy ran it all the way back for a touchdown, and that was the end of the game. But it shouldn't have never came down to a point where y'all had to punt the ball back to the Patriots anyway. And Zach Wilson just doesn't look like he's ready to take responsibility that his playing sucks. He's playing like stir fry. So, I mean, it's like, you know, doesn't make any sense to me. But we're going to go off into a station break, going off into some more music mix and see if our audio is running correctly with our music. And we'll be right back. Stand by.
Yes, welcome back to the Stoker's and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stoker's and Beer Radio Show. Time on deck is 9:29 a.m., and it is 65 degrees and sunny in San Diego, California. Stoker's and Beer Radio Show is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. That's WBEST, Chula Vista, California. Thank you, everybody, that's just tuning in. For everybody that's been listening to the show live, thank you for bearing with us. We was dealing with some audio technical problems this morning on the show. So now I'm having to switch around and do my show the way I used to do it, listening into it through my phone and running the show through my monitor. So I got to be in pretty much a stationary position and do my audio mix. Thank you for your patience and sticking with us. Every day can't be perfect, but we do strive for perfection no matter what, even in difficult times. In World Cup action, we got the at 1 Eastern today, we got the U.S. men's team playing against Wales. The U.S. men's team is playing against Wales today in World Cup action. I believe it's group play right now. But we want to say a big shout-out to the U.S. men's national soccer team or U.S. men's national football team in global terms, because they consider soccer, with soccer here, they consider football worldwide. But anyway, we want to give a big shout out to our men's, in soccer terminology, our men's U.S. national football team, and hope that they can come out with a victory against in group play against Wales. If you'd like to call in and talk about any World Cup action, if you are a World Cup savant, which I am not, but I do like to cover it and all the major news about it when it comes around, and also MLS action here in the United States as far as the scores and everything go. I kind of like try to follow the Portland Timbers and the Seattle Sounders in MLS action, but it's all about today about the U.S. men's national team. And, you know, we were trying to, it says Tyler Adams is named the team captain for World Cup. So I wish them guys well, U.S. men's national team.
they catch a lot of flack. So hopefully they can silence some of the critics this year and come out with and win the whole thing. But at least get deep in the tournament. If we can at least get about 3 tournament wins, that'd be nice. But I don't know how many games that it actually goes, but I know it's at least a week or 2 long worth of action somewhere in there. And I think the unique thing about World Cup this year, since it's in Qatar or Qatar, however you want to pronounce it, Qatar or Qatar over in the Middle East, I believe they had to do it in this time of year during Thanksgiving because, you know, during Thanksgiving week and stuff like that because it's so hot over there. It's better to do it this time of year so it can be more comfortable. A lot of people are upset for the fact that they're not selling beer in the stadium. So I don't know how this is going to go over next time when they try to have the event over in the Middle East. Americans and a lot of the European nations in North America, we like to drink beer during our sporting events. But if that is a Islamic country, if I'm correct, maybe or somewhat Islamic rules preside, if I'm correct. But in countries that are under Islamic law, they're real particular about, you know, drinking alcohol in public and drinking alcohol altogether, but definitely drinking alcohol in public and everything like that. So I don't know why that particular world event, it wasn't find out that there will be beer because you got a lot of vendors. Like I think Budweiser, they invested $75 million in advertisement and stuff like that. So that's a $75 million loss. So but hopefully that's a heck of a tax write off for them. But I mean, Budweiser really ain't losing no money. That $75 million probably was dropping the bucket for them to some degree. But these are $1 billion corporations that they can advertise at the type of events. I'm talking about billion dollar corporations, you know, Fortune 500 companies. So, but anyway, feel like a deal's a deal. If you signed off on it for beer to be served in the stands, a deal is a deal. But I guess we didn't see it that way. But, you know, that's just a fun fact, you know, that was out there that, you know, beer is not being able to sold in the stadium, but they can sell it in the hotels. So if you want a beer, you have to be watching the World Cup from your hotel's bar and drink a beer there. You can't actually go to the stadium. So I guess you just got to get lit up before you go to the game and then just go out there to the game and you maybe can get your food and everything like that. But you can't get a cold beer or a shot while you're at the game like you do in the United States. But, you know, that could be a good thing. Maybe it'll cut down on people leaving the stadium drunk and causing a traffic accident if they're over there trying to drive. But I drive in foreign countries. I would let the foreigners drive me around because you got to know their laws, their rules, and everything like that. And from what I hear, they consider Americans professional drivers when you go anywhere else. So if you have a wreck, they're going to look at you like you're American. You're a professional driver. You shouldn't. Have accidents and stuff like that. So anyway, in college football, number 7 USC defeats number 16 UCLA 48-35. Williams 32 of 43, 503 total yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception as USC defeats UCLA. Is Caleb Williams the best quarterback in college football? No, he's not. He's nowhere near close because he's not better than Hendon Hooker. Hendon Hooker took down Alabama. A Nick Saban led Alabama. And when Hendon Hooker took out Alabama, that sealed the deal for me. He also beat LSU pretty good early in the season. And LSU is going to the SEC championship against Georgia. Unfortunately, Hendon Hooker just suffered a season-ending ACL injury, and so he'll be out for the rest of the season on a non-contact ACL injury. So yeah, it's like a lot of good college balls played this weekend. But USC did defeat UCLA. And I believe UCLA is led by Chip Kelly with that quick strike offense. You know, Chip Kelly likes to have a hurry-up offense like he had at Oregon, had it at the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFL, and he had a hurry-up offense now 9 times out of 10. He has that hurry-up offense. In NFL news, the Washington Commanders defeated the Houston Texans. I believe the score was 23-10, and they are now 6-5. So the Washington Commanders are 6-5. They're not middle of the row anymore. They're trying to be, they're pushing for the playoffs. So in that division, Washington is 6-5. Philadelphia 9-1. Giants at 6-5, if I'm correct. And then Dallas at 7-4. It's gonna be interesting in the NFC East. They're not the NFC least anymore. They're the NFC East. So everybody's kind of like got a winning record. Everybody's above 500. Everybody's above 500. So that's going to be interesting in the NFC East. It's not too far out of the equation that Dallas could win that, the whole thing, or that the Washington Commanders could win the whole thing, because the Giants haven't been playing well, haven't been playing great. I think they've at least out of the last two dropped one. I know they lost yesterday. I can't remember if they lost the week before or not. They might have pulled it off the week before. I can't remember. But they lost yesterday. And then the Eagles, they just don't look as sharp as they did earlier in the season before they played Washington. They don't look as sharp to me. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll see what happens. And, you know, it's almost playoff time, people. Strap your hat on and get ready. Chicago lost yesterday, and they also the quarterback, Justin Fields, hurt his arm, sprained his shoulder. So he's saying that the pain right now is pretty intense. So he's probably going to have to get that cortisone injection to kind of like numb that pain. Yeah, so Chicago Bears, they lost. I'm trying to remember who they lost to. It'll come back up on the monitor. I'll let you know. The Atlanta Falcons, they won yesterday, putting them at 5-6. I think they're one game behind Tom Brady, or tied with Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the first place. The Rams to the Saints 27-20. Saints defeat the Rams 27-20, and those are my New Orleans Saints because I'm originally from the state of Louisiana. And a big shout out to the Saints on a big win. It always feels good when the Saints win a game. Come Monday morning, you can walk around with your head high if you're a Saints fan. It always feels good when the Saints win a game. So, yeah, that was pretty good that we got some revenge back from that when we got in the NFC championship. I almost went to the Super Bowl. We lost in the NFC championship on that bogus call. Everybody know the one I'm talking about. If you follow NFL, if you follow the Saints, you know about that bogus call we're talking about. What guy cleared out the wide receiver, just cleaned his clock, and the referee was standing right there and didn't even see it. So yesterday was a little bit of revenge, not sweet revenge, but just a little bit of revenge based on that. But yeah, big win for the Saints yesterday. Shout out to the New Orleans Saints. We got a big win yesterday against a quality team in the Rams. Rams aren't playing that great right now, but it's still a quality win. They are the defending champions, so a quality win against the defending champs, and they still have a name. That's a name that we want on our resume at any time, you know, with the team that they currently have. We want their name on our resume. It's just like in boxing, you know, somebody might not have the belt no more, but they're still a notable name. Is there certain names you want on your resume? Sometimes you also want to put a guy into retirement. You know, so you won't want to go ahead on and put that name on the resume. I'm the one that retired this guy. I'm the one that, you know, did this and did that, you know, when we beat him. You know, you want to have your resume stacked with notable names. And just like in football this season, you know, those defending champions. And so we, you know, we want to have their name on our resume in the win column. So we did that yesterday. Big shout out to the New Orleans Saints once again. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio. So I am Miro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. And we are broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBESTWBEST. Title of today's show was Chiefs Cut Off the Bolts Electricity on Sunday Night Football. Chiefs Cut Off the Bolts Electricity on Sunday Night Football. So last night, our quarterback from the Los Angeles Chargers, formerly San Diego Chargers, Herbert, he still needs to learn how to control clock. He got to learn how to control the clock. You know, that's the only way you're going to beat a team like the Kansas City Chiefs with a football player like Patrick Mahomes that can strike any time with the tight end receiving the ball like a Kelce. You know, Kelce, he had 3 touchdowns last night. I think the last game they played, he had 4 touchdowns. This week, he had 3 touchdowns. And so when you're playing a team led by Andy Reid, coached by Andy Reid, led by Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, excuse me, you got to know how to manage clock. I think that the Chargers scored too early, gave the Chiefs, you know, too much time to let – they didn't panic because they had enough time and scored. And then only gave the ball back to us with about 35 seconds left. And then, but we panicked because Herbert hasn't got to the point yet to where he actually knows how to manage that clock all the way down and then and defeat a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. At the same time, he with 35 seconds, he doesn't know how to use 35 seconds and drive all the way downfield. Now, I'm not going to put everything on them because obviously it was a problem with the offensive line because their defensive line just kept getting to Herbert. So it needs to be some things shored up on the offensive line as well because they were able to get to Herbert quite a bit, although Herbert still had a pretty much good game. And, you know, every time it was just going score for score. Every time the Chargers scored, the Chiefs came back and scored, and then vice versa. It was a good game. But, you know, we'll see what happens. It's almost, you know, we at midseason now. On the monitor, they say the Eagles defeated the Colts 17-6. Hurst and the Eagles rallied from a 1-point deficit in the fourth quarter. What did Jalen Hurst prove with yesterday's win? Hurst and the Eagles rallied from a 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter. What did Hurst prove with yesterday's win? Well, I believe Jalen Hurst proved that they can win after a defeat. They can come back from adversity. That's what he proved, that they can win in a defeat, and they can come back from adversity. Darius still sitting at the top of the NFL at 9-1. And the one game that they lost was against a good, hungry, and the Commanders team that is coming into his own. After all the negative stuff in the press about the front office, about the owner, all this different stuff with the courts, it's all the negative they've had to deal with. They've been on a 5-game win streak, if I'm correct. But I know they had 3 wins before they got it on a 3-game winning streak before they beat the Eagles. They beat the Eagles 4 games in yesterday. They beat the Houston Texans, and that was their 5th game. So I believe they're on a 5-game win streak, if I'm correct. If not a 5-game, at least a 3-game win streak, but they're on a streak right now. But if I'm correct, I believe it's 5 games. If you'd like to call me and correct me or debate me, the telephone number to call in is 515-602-9687. Again, 515-602-9687 if you'd like to call in and debate the host. What we're going to do now, everybody, we're going to go off into a station break and some music mix. And when I come back, I'm going to be closing out the show. I'm going to be sending Black Fade and all after my final notes. But for those that have been listening in live up to this point, thank you for staying online with us, even through our audio technical difficulty there for a minute. But we got it all sorted out, and we look like everything is working well now. But we're going to go off into some music mix and then come back and close out the show.
Yes, yes. Welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today and everything, and just, you know, sticking with us through our audio issues and stuff like that. I want to remind everybody before I go to be light, not darkness, be love, not hate. Pray for Brittany Griner that she gets out of this situation that she's in. They got her in a penal colony. I think they said about 200 miles outside of Moscow. So pray for her that the United States can broker a deal to get her back here safe before the holiday season is out. Pray for her family as well. I'm quite sure they're catching a tough time with her being detained in the penitentiary in Russia, you know, that's not something that any of us want to be dealing with, definitely during the holiday season. But pray for her that Joe Biden and his cabinet can broker a deal to get her out of there safely. Also, like I was saying, you know, pray for peace also in the Ukraine. Pray for those people. In the Ukraine, it's holiday season. As far as Christmas is going, year is coming. Pray for peace and pray for the people in Ukraine. Also, pray for the Russian soldiers that don't even want to be fighting this war and don't even want to be drafted into fighting this war. Because, you know, anytime these wars
them about, it's always a presidency. It's always somebody's cabinet that's causing this these wars. It's not the people. It's not the masses. The government. The government bodies is the one that's creating this. Like, for instance, Putin. Putin wants to take over Ukraine because he wants all the Slavic people to be one people, if I'm correct. That's what it's all about. He wants all the Slavic people, all the Slavic nations to be one. But that's not his call when someone wants their independence. So pray for peace in Ukraine and that this war ends soon. Pray peace around the world. It's holiday season. Thanksgiving week, so we definitely won't be on Thanksgiving. Our last show this week will be on Wednesday, so we'll be here tomorrow, and we'll be here Wednesday. And Thursday is all football and Thanksgiving and all that, and I probably won't be back until Monday, just to be on the safe side. I'll just say I'll be back the following Monday after Thanksgiving. We'll announce that on tomorrow, that we'll be back on air the Monday after Thanksgiving. Again, like I said, I always like to say this. I don't want to preach to you, but be love, not hate, be love, not darkness. Treat everybody the way you want to be treated. There's only one race. That's the human race. At the same time, it is flu season. Keep your mask on. Take your meds if you get sick. Protect yourself from COVID-19. Get your COVID-19 booster. Get your flu shots. Do all the things that you need to do to keep yourself, your family, and the community safe at all times. But keep your mask on you at all times. Keep your hand sanitizer on you at all times. Monkeypox is still out there. Wear your mask in crowded spaces. If you get sick while you're at home, quarantine yourself in a room away from the rest of your family for about 5 days. Get with your doctor, take the meds they tell you to take so you can keep your family safe. It is holiday season. We want everybody to enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday, and we don't want people sick, you know, on Thanksgiving. So with that being said, this has been the Soak Is A Bit Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferrant, a.k.a. The Late Night Show, kicking it with you live in the early morning. We're about to set black and fade all. So broadcasting live from Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. I am your host, Romero, and Gabe the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Soak Is A Bit Radio Show. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Set black. Fade off.